Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
I tell you, yeah, Boniface not wasting any time. That Nasheed was sounding good there. Yeah, it was like a ripple that came through. But then I don't know what happened after that. But Alhamdulillah, Suma, Alhamdulillah, that time of the morning, where we join our very own Adam Kamda. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafad. Yes, Durban is a buzz. Yesterday evening, we took a drive along near Blue Lagoon towards the stadium. Traffic was very congested. I think there was a big match or a big sports event happening at the stadium. This morning, lots of revelers on the beach, bathers are in the water. I can see some water sports competition being set up on the beach as well. So everything is green light and everything is a buzz in Durban this morning.
I tell you, Durban is a buzz, and you know, it's a divine decree that set you up to be with us this morning. I really get sad when you're not with us, you know, and there's he out in the ocean, and I make so much of dua for you, Allah bring him safely, because, you know, you're very close to us, and the fishing has been good all round, I believe, Adam. Some amazing fish have been landed on boats, on the shores. Anything that you landed during the week, or some of your, you know, good friends that do fishing, and 24/7 they're in touch with you. What have they landed, and what was in the boats, and what was on the shores, Adam?
Yes, Shafaj, your duas indeed are very powerful. You make dua for me to return safely, and I return safely to your show. So initially, I was supposed to launch very early this morning, but my plans changed. And although you gave me off for the day, I was available, so I definitely sent you a message. Always a pleasure to be on air with you, Shafaj. So I said, let me send you that message. So fishing has been really exciting off Durban lately, especially my friend Jake's on Simply the Best Fishing Charters. They're still getting hailback salmon virtually every trip. Usually it's a fish that bites at night, so most of the boats will launch at about 3 or 4 p.m. and catch some live bait and then fish into the night. Or they'd launch like really early at about 3 o'clock in the morning, catch some live bait and then go to those the secret spots or the chosen spots where they usually catch hailback. And the morning trips, after catching a few hailback and the bite goes slow, then they move off to catch other general bottom fish. But all reports are that fishing is really great. As the summer months come in, as the days warm up, once you see lychees and mangoes being sold in Overport, then you know that the summer fish come on the bite like Dorado. And that's the game fish season that we look forward to. There are some good specimens of Dorado being caught at St. Lucia already. So that's very good. It's a very good omen for our Durban season. So as the warm water moves down from the north coast into our area, then those game fish will follow, Shafaz.
Now, people, when Adam tells you they're in Overport in that corner, besides the van there, they'll say, hey, come Lani. They call everyone a Lani. Hey, Lani, I got some lucky leeches there. Make a prize for you. Take it with that Heidi mangoes and so forth. Besides that, at every robot you stop there, there's these individuals that are coming with big, knocking at your window. Come, I make a prize. You pay me now. And sometimes be careful, hey? You pay them, you don't get your goods delivered. So take it first and then give them the money. But Alhamdulillah, really, Adam encapsulating that atmosphere that is coming through. And then, Adam, you know, when you get, when you're fishing, when the sea gets a bit on its head or gets a bit rough, and you feel like, hey, you know what, I can't fish here, I can't do it. So is it a good idea to run and go and start fishing in the harbor when, you know, it's a bit getting choppy at the surf, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, we have lots of options when it comes to boat fishing off Durban. The diehards will go like about 30 miles out to sea. They look for spots off Palito, off Amshlanga. But as you rightly mentioned, if the sea is on its head, then you don't really want to be too far away from the port. The other options would be the normal deep sea trip or mini deep is what they call fishing around the 30-meter mark. And then even if that's not suitable, then you have backline trips, which means just behind the backline, the last wave, you know, in the surf zone. Although it sounds quite dangerous, but you're not literally fishing on the backline, on the last wave. You are a little bit further out in depth of about 12 meters. And then failing that, as you rightly mentioned, if it's too choppy out at sea, you can easily find good sheltered spots in the harbor. and then you change your tackle, then you change onto a lighter tackle and target species that we normally catch in the harbour. At the moment, they're catching good spotted grunter and snapper salmon.
Now, Adam, you know, how safe is the harbour? You know, I remember when I was growing up, and then sometime you'll hear, you know, a tragedy has taken place at the harbour, and certain individuals had passed on, and the boat sunk and so forth. Was it because of the choppy conditions, or was it, you know, most of them at that time, the stories used to be at night, you know, going out at night and fishing on the ski boats and so forth. I don't know if you recall, but could you share some of these moments with us?
Yes, if I remember fondly, my dad, in the harbour is the safest place to be because you can't get mugged. You know, once you're out there on your boat and you're anchored in the middle of the harbour somewhere, you know, you're not going to have any crime element creeping up on you. But having said that, on a serious note, the weather element is very important. And people underestimate, you know, the effect of wind on the water. It actually creates big waves. Especially when a southwesterly comes through, and what our local fishermen know as a southwesterly buster. So this is like this comes up ahead of a cold front, and it's quite easily predictable, Shafaat. So if you're going out to sea, or if you're in charge of the boat, it's your duty to look at the weather forecast and assess whether it's safe or not to launch, Shafaat. Very often people take a chance and they say, you know what, this is my only day off. I need to go fishing. I won't be able to fish for another 2 weeks. And even if they know the weather is not 100%, then they take a chance. And that's when people, you know, get into difficulty. And another thing is boat handling skills, Shafaat. You find often when the wind picks up and there's big waves, even in the harbor, if you are running your boat too slowly as the bow goes over the wave, it kind of digs into the next wave, and the water splashes over the bow and into the boat. If it doesn't flow out fast enough from the scuppers at the back, then your boat starts to take on water and it becomes unstable, and there's a chance of capsizing. So you need to understand your boat. You need to know how to drive it in different conditions. And if you are inexperienced, then make sure you fish in the day only and in absolutely calmest conditions. As you get more experience, you'll be able to fish, you know, in various other types of weather and through the night as well.
This message on the screen says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamla, Shafaat. I really enjoy your slots and very informative indeed. I am a retired educator and has taken to fishing. Just the other day, I was talking to a group of fishermen and they were talking about light and ultra light tackle. But I tell you, Adam, I felt so embarrassed because I couldn't understand the lingo. Please let me know what's light and ultra light. Hey, even I don't know the lingo. Adam, yeah, inform us.
Yes, Shafaat. You know, the challenge of catching a big fish is, you know, it's anyone can throw out a line that's like. Possible tackle. So you'll go through a few incidents where you'd hook a big fish, and if your tackle is too light, it'll just break off. But as you use a rod that's whoopy enough and a drag that's quite smooth, you'll be able to play the fish until it's tired and then pull it into the shore. So light tackle, it's typically like a 6 foot or a 7 foot rod casting up to 1 ounce. Then if you scale down to smaller rods and thinner, whoopier rods, that's ultralight tackle. Even as small as like a four and a half foot rod, Shafaat, and casting weights from 1 to 7 grams. So it's like really, really light, really whoopy rods. You can't really get much distance to cast with this, but you get your bait out in the water. And the other challenge is to use artificial baits rather than using fresh like sardine bait, for example. The artificial baits would be your soft lures like Makati paddle tails and tiddlers with a jig head. So move down to ultralight. You feel every bite. You hook more fish. You land more fish. But when you do hook that the monster fish, then you know it's a really big challenge and really big satisfaction as well when you land a big fish on ultralight tackle, Shafaat.
Now, you know, people, they target the tuna, the snook, or the kuta, etc. You know, there are techniques and different ways of catching it. But is it the way, you know, or the bait is presented that attract these fish? Or do you have to use a certain tactic, Adam?
But, you know, the fishermen are quite ingenious and have developed so many different styles of fishing and techniques of fishing. And it all matches to the wariness of the fish, whether the fish is very fussy, very picky, or whether, it's adapted to exactly how the fish behaves. For example, if you're catching Cape snook, the boats go out, they know that these fish congregate in large shoals. So you'll often find about 10 or 20 boats fishing the same spot. There they take a single hook, put a chunk of sardine on it, and they let it go down, you know, with its natural weight, but no sinker. And the fish handline, Shafat. So with handline, they can yank these fish up at quite a pace, often landing like a ton on a boat or 2 tons of fish on a boat quite easily. And these fish are not very fussy eaters. In fact, when I was fishing many years ago for Natal Snook, one of the crew on board, it was the end of the trip. We had already caught quite a few snook. He cleaned the whatever little bait was off the hook. He threw it back in just to straighten his line and wind it back onto the spool. And even on the empty hook, Shafad, he was able to hook another snook, and he brought the last snook up. And then you get other fish that are, you know, so fussy, like the kuta. The way you pin your live bait, the way the live bait swims, the thickness of your line, and even, for example, Natal snook are very fussy. You target them normally on the back line, typically like off near river mouths, like from the Umgeni area going north along the Virginia stretch. You'd have to fish right on the back line because they feed in the surf zone. So you'd have to be as close as possible to the back line. And you have to be a really skilled skipper because there's a danger a rogue wave could capsize you. So there's a lot of so many little things that you have to do differently for the different species. And then even with the Natal snook, we trawl a fillet of sardine very delicately presented that just has to flap on the surface of the water. While that's happening, you have another crew casting a spoon towards the shore, and that flash draws them towards your bait and towards the boat. So as you rightly mentioned, Shafad, there's so many different styles of fishing and then different thicknesses of line and different weights of outfits that you would use. If you go up for marlin and sailfish, then you use big multiplier reels with braid from 80 pound to 100 pound. And then as you come down to kuta fishing, you go a little bit more finesse, 30 pound, 50 pound, and even lighter when you're going for Natal snook, Shafad. So if you walk into a tackle store, you'll see thousands of rods and thousands of rigs. And you wonder, what is all this for? And as you learn more about the species, then you learn about all the different outfits that you can use to target them, Shafad.
Now, I can just imagine the knowledge that you have, Adam. People, customers come, they ask you. I mean, look at this on radio, too. It's just a pleasure having you. I mean, no research done with you, Adam. I just tap, 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 and you're giving me all the answers. And Allah bless you for that knowledge. Absolutely brilliant. And it's not stagnating and allowing mosquitoes to gather. The water is churning all the time, Adam. And I'm thinking about a fisherman, you know, the different type of fishermen. And you're talking about style of the fish. I mean, the fish is so fussy. But what about different fishermen? They have different ways of casting, different characteristics, you know, how they hold their rod. And some of them will style, you know, we know smoking is makru, but you'll check, with his cape in his mouth. That's the lingo that the fishermen use. Everyone has a unique style. Fishermen don't emulate each other. They got their own beat, Adam.
Yes, Shafat. The biggest mind shift is when a beginner walks into the shop and says, my friends are fishermen and I want to buy my own rod and reel. You know, I'm tired of borrowing sinkers from them all the time and I keep losing sinkers on the rocks. And then you ask them, okay, so what fish do you want to target? And they look at you bewildered, not realizing, not, you know, can't understand whether you're pulling their leg or are you serious? I mean, I thought, you know, you just throw your bait into the water and whatever bites, you know, you catch. How can you choose what fish you want to catch? But the type of tackle that you use, the type of bait that you use, the area that you fish, the time of year that you fish, all determines what species is prolific in the area that you're fishing, Shafat. And you have to have tackle to match the species that you're targeting. So you'd start them off with a light, simple rod and reel combo to target general fish like carantines, blacktails, stumpnose, shad, etc. Shad is very easy to catch. So it's a typical fish to start with for beginners. And then as you catch a lot of them, you actually get bored of them and you want to challenge yourself to target other species, then you'd move on to fish like garrick and brusher. And there's so many species that we can target from the shore, Shapat. And besides that, once you move on to boat fishing, then the world's your oyster. You can fish in the harbor, you can fish estuaries, you can tow your boat up to places like Jozini and fish for tiger fish. And once you're out, deep sea shapard, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many different species of fish you can target in all the different areas, like the backline for Natal snook, the 30 meter areas for Kuta, even trawling around the ship's shapard, you'd catch Dorado there, and then moving really deep, 300 meters deeper, targeting huge, the Montreal monsters and the pinnacle of most fishermen's dreams, to catch a big billfish like a striped marlin, a blue marlin, or a black marlin, Shapat.
Yeah, Adam, you know, our Joburg connections, I don't know why. Always when they say, shad, and they have a cynical smile on them. Why, Adam? I mean, the shad is a lucky fish to chow. He says, shad. Why they go like that, Adam?
Yeah, Shapat, there's different attitudes towards shad, Shapat, because it's such a tasty table fish. A lot of anglers would go out early in the morning, they'll catch the four shad, and they'll bring it back home and enjoy a nice fresh fried fish breakfast, or keep it for the afternoon and have fish curry for lunch. And then you get the other guys that will look down on shad fishermen because shad is so easy to catch. And they'll say, you know, that's easy, that's too easy. We want a bigger challenge. And they'll try fishing artificials like paddle tails for cob. And they'll try casting out a live bait and trying for garrick as well, Shapat. So once you spend a lot of time in fishing, you get bored of the easier species and you take on the bigger and bigger challenges, Shapat.
Alhamdulillah, well said there, Adam. And I'm looking at this message. It is from Salim. He says, Chef and Adam, Assalamu alaikum. Let's tell you I enjoy the show. Hey, I find a lot of O's. They have the top gears on, like sunshades and like fishing gear and so forth. Hey, Adam, they can't fish for peanuts. What they coming there to pose and take selfies? Oh, what are they doing? Hey, Salim got me falling off my chair, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. I draw the analogy. Fishing is very similar to photography. You know, with photography, you can capture such amazing photos with just a simple cell phone, you know. And yet you'd get other guys that are investing 20,000 rand on the camera body and another 15,000 on the lens and still are not getting much better pictures than what you got with your cell phone. So it's a lot to do with personal skill, making the best of what you have. If you think back of our grandfather's days, they fished with cane rods and wooden reels, and they still manage to catch huge fish, Shapat. So it doesn't mean that if you spend more on your tackle, you're going to get bigger fish. In the same way as if you spend more on your camera and lens, that you're going to be able to suddenly capture these amazing shots. Obviously, you'll be able to capture better images at low light and certain challenging conditions. Similarly, on the surf, you know, if you've got really choppy water and you need a little bit of extra distance to get over the breakers, maybe that Stella reel and that assassin rod will help you to get through. But even the medium tackle will still get you fishing and still get you good fish, Shapat.
Gona Seelan says, good morning, Adam. I really like you. I want to give you all a tip. The Central Coast has been producing a good mix of species, Adam. But please tell the people, go south or north of the sewage. Otherwise, hey, you're going to have it bad. And put on your mask. Hey, Gona Seelan. Thank you, Gona Seelan. Adam, you're one of your chummies.
Yes, Shapat. We have had some really serious issues on our Durban beachfront. With many beaches having been closed, but if I'm not mistaken, all are open now. I just saw a message on Facebook from a Tikwini opening many more beaches and opening about 17 pools as well. And I also saw some results from some labs, and I was really surprised at how low those readings were, you know, under 100, under 50. So really good sign. The water seems to have cleaned up, but I, fingers crossed, I really hope that the source has been sorted out so that wherever that sewage was leaking from and overflowing into rivers and then getting into our ocean, I hope that problem has been solved. So it's not a case of it's clean now, but a couple of weeks later, we have the problem recurring, Shabbat.
Now, how do I navigate? He's taken north or south of the sewage. How do I navigate?
Yes, Shabbat, it's not a question of looking out at sea and say, oh, that's brown water, I'm not going to fish there. We often have water flowing out of the rivers, and it is brown water, and you see it mixing with the ocean. And sometimes there's a distinct line, especially when the northeaster is blowing. It keeps all that fresh brown water close to shore, and then you can see a distinct line where it becomes like greenish water, or that turns blue again as you move out to sea. So it's not just a question of looking at the color of the water and say, I'm not going to fish there, because very often in that brown, brackish water is where you would find cob, and that's where cob actually feed. So at the river mouths or a little bit north or south of the river mouths is actually really excellent fishing grounds for certain species. So I would go by the report, the official reports by Tikwini. Don't go by just anyone's hearsay, because there's lots of fake news on social media. But you can rely on it for authentic reports. And if they say certain beaches are closed, then give it a good berth, say, like 10 kilometers away north or 10 kilometers away south. You know, I wouldn't take a chance fishing close to those areas at all. But having said that, things have really cleared up, and fishermen are back on the water. We've noticed it in our business. It's been a really quiet 2 months, but now suddenly everyone's looking for bait. There's a bit of a shortage of bait at the moment. So you can really feel that buzz and feel that frenzy that the fishermen have woken up. And they're targeting all manner of species. At the moment, the shad season is still closed. It'll only open on the 1st of December. So everyone's getting the tackle ready and targeting other species in the meantime before they really the shad frenzy really starts on the 1st of December, Shafar.
Yeah, looking at the message from Ghaffari, he says, Assalamu alaikum. Adam, as you know, Garrick love a frisky live bait. And I can tell you, with all the damage done with sewage and pollution, live baits is hard to get by. How about your stores? Can I get some from you? How do you respond to Ghaffar, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, live bait availability is very dependent on the conditions. I don't think it was affected by the pollution in the waters. Even if you go down to areas like the Transkei, which is pristine, there are certain times where you would try for live baits and you can't catch live baits. So what anglers have done, you know, as I mentioned, they always use the ingenuity and develop new techniques. So one idea would be to invest in a live well tank, which is you could get like a 70-liter or 140-liter tank that will fit at the back of your bucky that plugs into your electrical system in the vehicle, or you could have a separate battery to run it. It has pumps to aerate the water. So once you catch your live baits in a certain beach, and you fully put those live baits into that tank, it can stay live for quite long as you've got power to those aerator pumps and keep them running. So you would fish in a beach where there are lots of live baits and maybe no other game fish to fish with, put them into your live well, and then drive down to your destination like Transkei, and where you identify areas where there's big brusher or garrick or whatever species you want to target. There's big game fish there, but no live baits. So you have an advantage over the other anglers, Shafat, where you've brought your own live baits to the beach compared to other anglers trying to catch live baits and trying to catch the big game fish on the same beach, Shafat.
I tell you, Adam, you and I, mashallah, have swum deep, right deep into the Indian Ocean. The Baraka is flowing, and hey, no, sardines, not now. No. You come in winter. Even the sardines reckon, hey, we enjoy Adam so much, we want to come back to Durban. No, sardines. You come only in winter. Well, Adam, Gigi Foy is shouting in my ear. Recipe. What you got for Gigi Foy, Adam?
Yes, Shafar, I'd like to share a shashuka recipe this morning. It's basically like a tomato sauce gravy that you cook, and you add your eggs to it and let the eggs poach in the heat of the gravy. So you start by sauteing chopped onions, bell peppers, and garlic with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil in a large, heavy skillet or pan. Season with kosher salt, dhania powder, chili powder, jeera powder, and some crushed pepper flakes. Cook for at least 5 minutes, stirring until the veggies are tender. Then add fresh diced tomatoes. Then bring the tomatoes to a boil. Then cover and let it simmer for about 15 minutes. Then uncover and cook for a few minutes more until your sauce has thickened. So that's the first part of the recipe, Shafat. Then when the sauce is ready, use the back of a spoon and make some holes in the sauce. Crack your eggs and nestle each egg in one of the holes you created. Cover the skillet and allow the eggs to simmer in the sauce over medium-low heat until the egg whites have settled. And typically, the eggs should still be a bit soft and runny, but if you like your eggs well done, then you can cook it for a little longer. Garnish it with chopped dhania and serve it hot in the skillet with some nice crusty bread, Shafat.
Well, you know, I can see... what, Boniface? Hey, Boniface want to have it with the Rogni naan. Can he have it with the Rogni naan, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Any flatbread like naan or pita bread goes really well with this. But I like garlic bread, Shafat, the ciabatta bread that you get at Woolies with the lovely garlic butter inside. So you bake that in the oven so the outside is nice and crisp and the inside is soft and lathered with the garlic butter, Shafat. It's really yummy.
You tell me, it's really yummy. You know, you're making my tummy growl now. What about your good friend Ash? I believe you and him, y'all share a lot of recipe. Is it true, Ash, Suleiman, and Adam? Hey, y'all can cook up a storm in the kitchen. Is that true, Adam?
Yes, Ash loves food. He's got a beautiful clay oven at home to make pizzas, and he loves photography as well. So we really get along very well, Shafat.
Yeah, y'all should do a show together one morning. Yeah, on the fishing slot. Adam, as usual, you know, the baraka flows with you. You're efficacious. You're the type of individual that people see. And instantaneously, they love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What time you sailing off this morning then?
Yes, once I'm done, Shafat, I'll have a light breakfast and we're heading out to sea. So looking forward to a lovely day at sea. The weather is really beautiful. Light winds about 5 to 7 knots. And the sea looks quite settled today as well. So really looking forward to it.
You go well, Adam, and inshallah, Allah keep you blessed now and forever. Your parting words?
Yes, Shafat, I'd just like to encourage everyone who wants to experience fishing to come down to Durban and book with our local charters. They're all waiting for your business and they'll really take good care of you. You don't need to invest in any tackle. Just pay for your seat on the boat and off you go. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our very own Adam Kamda, who brings the ocean alive. Hey, when you're going down to the beach there, north and south, eh? Yeah, you navigate properly. You know what I mean. I don't want to tell you more.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.